First public hearing is conditional use number 1968, Ray Baker.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a micro distillery to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.06 acres, more or less, lying at the intersection northwest of Road 506, also known as Shockley Road, and northeast of Road 505, also known as Ryder Road, and being 730 feet south of Route 24, also referred to as Sharptown Road, and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID District 532, Map 1, Parcel Number 6. For the benefit of the commission, I've passed down copies of the survey and site plan for this application. They were submitted with the application on June 28th of 2013. We did receive some agency comments, first one being from DLDOT. It's in the form of a memorandum, is dated June 12th of 2013, and states that a traffic impact study is not recommended, that the existing level of service A for Ryder Road being Road 505 and Shockley Road being 506 will not change as a result of this application. We also heard from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, again in the form of a memorandum, it was dated September 11, 2013. It states that the site is located in the Western Sussex Planning Area Number 4, that an individual on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Study will be required, that the proposed use is not in an area where the county currently has a schedule to provide sewer service, and therefore a concept plan is not required. Now, gentlemen, that's all I've received to date from any individual or agency.
All right, sir, we thank you. I'm just guessing that you're Mr. Baker.
I'm Ray Baker. Okay. Ryder Road.
Well, we've been waiting for your application. We don't get too many applications for a still.
I realize that. I did some research, and it's not a lot of distilleries going on right now.
Well, you heard what our director read into the record on your behalf. Is there anything you'd like to add?
I did bring some handouts I would like to share.
Sure, sure. Bring them on up. If you would hand them to Mr. Lank, and he'll see that they get passed down. Why don't you, while you're passing that out, why don't you kind of tell us what a micro distillery is?
The micro distillery in Delaware is less than 750,000 gallons per the new law. That's the ceiling. I'm nowhere near being at that. My plan, I have four 26-gallon stills. They're reflux column stills. Three of them are reflux column. One of them is a traditional pot still. And they were made in Kentucky, and I had them shipped out. I'm anxious to get them permitted. And what I would like to do is, you know, my mission is to capitalize on the newly enacted laws of Delaware. You know, we had one other distillery start up in Rehoboth, I think it was, Delaware Distilling Company. And in Sussex County, we have all the grains and the fruits that one would need to make any product in the spirits lineup. So my plan is to use everything from Sussex County for the ingredient. What I want to do is create a responsible and respectable product for the mature connoisseur of handcrafted spirits. Because right now, the spirits industry, the micro distillery industry, is following the same growth curve that the microbrewery made. Mm-hmm. So really now is an exciting time to get into this business. So my plan at this facility, which I'm calling plant number one, is to do only manufacturing, finishing, barrel aging, packaging, and shipping. I really don't have a desire to have public tastings. While it is permitted by the law, I would prefer not to do it there. I think there are other opportunities to do it at other locations. If you apply with the alcohol commissioner, you can actually do tastings at other facilities, such as at a liquor store or bar, other places.
So at this facility, you don't anticipate there being any public access or public traffic?
No, that's my expectation is, It's small, and it doesn't really warrant taking advantage of that. I think there's better opportunities to do tastings at other places.
That's plant number two, right?
That would be plant number two, correct. I do expect, once I'm permitted federally, the only traffic impact is going to be UPS deliveries. That's what I'm expecting.
Just a curious question. What's the law say about shipping of distilled spirits?
It's going to need to be picked up by a distributor. So as I'm ready to make the sales, the distributor will come to the property and actually pick it up there.
It's not like you're going to be selling it over the internet or anything?
No,
like
no.
Okay.
My waste management plan, the grains, similar to the microbreweries, the grains, I've already talked to local farmers. They're interested in buying the grains at very low cost to them, because you can use a 10% mixture. You take that mash and blend it 10% with your raw grain that can pass on to the cattle.
Happy cows.
Yeah. Now, the fruit pulps, I did talk with T.S. Smith, and I can actually get the juice from them. So I don't plan on doing mashing of fruit at the property, because it would create a waste stream that I'd have to manage.
Right.
It'd be a lot easier for me to get it in juice form. The water, there is processed cooling water. The column actually has a once through,
mm-hmm.
and the mash that's left over, you got to do something with it. You know, you just can't run it on the ground. So what I'm going to do is put it in totes. So there will be a drain. It will actually go to two 250-gallon totes. So what I would need to be able to do...
I'm familiar with that. Are you saying a toad?
A chemical tote.
Tote.
Yeah, T-O-T-E.
Okay.
They're probably like this big.
A drum?
Drums.
Okay.
So what you do is collect it. Because
it's
I can't...
A toad. I was thinking, boy, it's a big toad.
Yeah, they're 250-gallon. So what it will do is I can collect it in that tote, and then I can have a third party treat it. But I can't identify a third party until I can actually get up and running, where I can take representative samples
okay.
to potential waste treatment companies. The stills themselves, they're not fired stills. They're electric elements that are in there, so there's no open flames in the building. That's, you know, always a concern.
Okay.
The columns, they do have an atmospheric vent on them. That vent will go outside. I will not have that vent in the building.
Okay.
I do expect, based on my capacity, that I could generate with 100% sales $203,196 in revenue.
Give or take a couple bucks.
Give or take, depending on the demand.
All right then.
And on the last page, because the property, I have seven buildings, wanted to point out where the actual distillery would be and which buildings would not be used and which building I would use for barrel aging. Because it's going to take me 2 years. Once you actually start making product, if you want to enter the straight bourbon market, you've got to have 2 years before you can actually legally sell it. And then if you use smaller barrels, you can age it, but then you have to go and routinely taste it to see, you know, if you've got a product that you want to bottle.
Okay. All right. Tell you what, let's see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you.
Okay.
We'll start with Mr. Ross.
Yes, good evening, Mr. Baker. So you're asking for conditional use for the entire 4.06 acres, but you're going to be living in the dwelling that's not identified on this exhibit?
I do apologize. Yes, I will. Right in the center. The one building that's not identified
right.
is the home.
That's where you live and reside.
Correct, yes.
Okay. I guess I'm wondering about security. People tend to like to get free booze, you know?
Yes.
So is it going to be fenced in? What's your security arrangements?
What I'm going to do on the front, I'm going to put two doors because the government, in their wording, you have to protect the revenue. And to do that, I'm going to have to beef up security. So my plan is to have the first door and then a second door.
So you plan on having double locked doors?
Yes.
To each building that's identified?
Correct.
As a production or storage?
Yes, because the government is very worried on protecting the revenue.
How would you feel about fencing in the property?
As long as it's an attractive fence, as long as it's not, you know, this gate, big heavy chain gated type fencing.
Okay, I'll leave that, and maybe the other commissioners can pursue that issue a little bit more. But personally, I'm inclined, as a conditional use,
mm-hmm.
we can put requirements if we should, and we would, the council would act, okay?
Right.
If we should decide to recommend approval, we put conditions. And personally, I'm inclined, I don't speak for the other four commissioners, to ask you to fence this entire site in because of its use. Okay.
The entire property or the building?
No, well, I mean, if the buildings were all grouped in one little area, then I could see fencing in the production area. But since the buildings are scattered as they are, you know, I'd like to see, you know, all the production buildings fenced in one enclosure, not separate enclosures. That's my inclination. But I want to hear what the other commissioners have to say and questions and whatever public comment. But we don't typically have production of distilled spirits. This is new, as you say. And, you know, some people might look at it as an easy target. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think for everybody's benefit, it's something that we need to discuss and consider at least. You said your production cannot exceed 750,000 gallons by state law. Are you anticipating a production limit before you outgrow the conditional use location, or?
No.
This?
No, I expect if everything's successful and I move to another plant and start upscaling up, then I would have to justify the economics to actually put out 750,000 gallons based on the market, depending on market demand. If the market justifies $750,000 or 750,000 gallons, and I want to make that investment, then I'd entertain, you know, that kind of facility.
You probably have to move off this site.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Any expansion would not be on this property.
You talked about local ingredients, and I guess they would be delivered in relatively small quantities?
Yes.
So bags or some kind of?
Preferably bags.
So the truck traffic would be simply UPS and whatever distributors stop in to pick up finished product, which will be a nominal amount.
Correct.
Okay. Are you anticipating any employees?
No, not at plant number one.
And hours of not necessarily operation, because it looks as if everything, if you don't have employees, is operation inside, but I guess hours that you anticipate delivery or pickups of product?
I would expect them to be on Fridays between normal business hours, 8 to 4:30.
But it could occur Monday through Friday?
No, until I take the operation on full time, because I work 4/10s,
okay.
I would not have those deliveries in that time frame, other than UPS. Any grain deliveries, I would be there for.
But understanding, I mean, again, if we were to stipulate the hours of product acceptance or deliveries, then you may want to anticipate, you know, what you need 10 years from now, you know, in those hours. So you can always come back to the commission and ask us to change a condition, but it might be better to anticipate your needs rather than have to go through this process again just to change your hours of operation. So considering that.
I could make arrangements Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30.
Okay, cool.
That wouldn't mean you have to be open those hours, but that's, you know, that would just mean that.
It just would allow you.
And you could be.
Okay. You could be, that's a.
For receipt of.
Yeah.
For any reason.
Okay.
If a farmer wants to bring you some stuff, or they want to bring you juice, you know, between 8 and 4:30, Monday through Friday.
Okay.
You can make arrangements for that, but you're not required to, it just gives you latitude. Your onsite sewer is for your own home, you won't have any sewer needs for the plant operation, is that correct?
That's correct.
Everything's closed?
Right.
Water, do you have, I mean, is it onsite water, or do you use distilled water, or?
No, it will be onsite water.
Using your current well?
My current well.
So it's a very low volume?
Yes.
Do you need a sign, are you anticipating having a sign so UPS people or trucks will know where you are, or?
No, I don't, because the UPS guys, they know where I'm at now. And with GPS being what it is today, I'm expecting anybody showing up to pick up finished product, they'll be able to find it.
Okay, and you're not having any on-site sales, you're not having a tavern or samples of that sort of nature on-site. And then the state license, does this come before, during, after? Where in the process do your state and federal licenses come in?
What will happen is after if I receive the okay from this commission, then I can apply with the Sussex County Alcohol Commissioner. Then once I have the license from them to proceed, then I present that to the federal, at the federal level. Then after the federal level, then I would have the right to operate.
So as long as we say that all your permits have to be in hand prior to your final site plan submission, that would be in order in that sequence.
Okay. Yep.
All right. The fire system you discussed and the security we went through. Mr. Chairman, that's all the questions I have.
All right. Mr. Smith. Thank you. And Mr. Ross did a good job. I was going to ask how far from the closest fire department are you?
8 minutes.
Roughly 8 minutes,
because I timed it. Mm-hmm. Now, that's me in my vehicle. How far am I from within a fire truck? Say maybe 15. You know,
and
at the rate they would drive.
Mr. Ross just touched on that there are regulations other than the county that will be placed on your operation.
Yes.
Correct. There's another layering of
absolutely
of regulation,
yes.
State and federal, and
yes.
There's a mention on here about a bonding,
yes,
of one of your
correct
areas of 1800 or some odd square feet,
right?
Okay. Mr. Ross, I think, made a good point about security. In lieu of a fence, do you anticipate, or could you see you perhaps using security cameras on the
actually
site?
Yeah, I had planned on that as part of, once I get the okay to proceed, that's going to be some of my investment, is putting in CCTV so that I can record the entrances and the faces of the buildings. Because of the way that the government regulations are written, again, trying not to be redundant, but they're saying protect the revenue multiple times. And that gets into the security of the building. Mm-hmm. The building absolutely has to be secure.
Mm-hmm. And I realize I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question, which you could only give a hypothetical answer. But if you had security cameras and you found that you were victimized by vandalism or breaking and entering, do you think it would be a logical next step for you to then go say, hey, the security cameras aren't working, perhaps now I'll go to fencing or hiring a security patrol or increasing your security?
I think what I would do is beef the building up. There's stuff that you can do structurally to secure it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can put in heavy doors. You know, overlay makes a really good security door. I mean, it depends on the level of capital investment you want to make. But again, back to the government, I've got to secure that building. It has to satisfy them, because they're going to come out and they're going to look at the property. And if it's not secure, you're not operating. Because you got to have that bond. You know, it's protect the revenue.
Will the building be like a steel building, like a Morton or Conestoga?
No, what I plan on doing right now with the distillery is finish closing it in with heavy white oak. That way, you know, you're not going to come up and kick the walls in to get in. Then I'll be able to put in a heavy frame with a heavy door.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
Well, Mr. Chairman, concerning the fencing, I don't know. I think given the requirements of the federal government for the security of the buildings, I don't know that fencing is something that I would necessarily think is necessary for additional security at this point, especially given the small size of the operation that we're talking about starting out. And other than that, if there's no samples here for us to have, I have no further questions.
Looking like a true spirit lover. Okay, Mr. Burton.
You mentioned bottling.
Yes.
Are you bottling there? Are you?
Yes, I am allowed to bottle on premise.
So it's going to go from a aging barrel to a bottle to a distributor?
Correct.
Okay, and where is the bottling being done?
The bottling will be done on, if you look at the drawing that I provided, you'll see a small footprint that says bottling area. It's actually in the building.
Oh,
yeah, on that drawing.
Last page.
Right there in this bottling area. There.
Okay. So what's stored for 2 years? The barrels?
The barrels will be stored for 2 years, yeah, for a straight bourbon.
Is there another option?
Yes.
You want something faster? You're looking for a faster drink there, Mr. Burton.
Yeah, it's depending on the barrel size, the barrels age. They breathe with the climate. So as the seasons change, the spirit is pushed in and out of the barrels. That's where the color comes from and the flavor. So if you use a smaller barrel, you have more surface area on the inside of that barrel. So they age quicker. The bigger the barrel you get, the less surface area you have for your liquid to come in contact, so it takes longer for them to age.
Okay, so the buildings are going to store the barrels, and then it goes in. Then, so where would the theft occur? Somebody stealing barrels?
Yeah, they'd have to steal a whole barrel.
Okay, I don't know that I'm so worried about fencing.
I'm thinking it's rather small risk, but I don't know. I don't know.
One other question. The byproduct that goes into the toad bag or tote bag or whatever.
Right.
How dangerous is that? I mean, is that?
It's pretty inert because what has happened is you've already extracted the alcohol off of it. So then it goes back mostly to water. You're going to have some microbes, which is the yeast that was in there. And then you're going to have the grain mash. Whatever. If you ferment on the grain, then you'll have grain mash left over. If you don't ferment on the grain, then you'll have to do something with the grain. Depending on the spirit you're making, you'll do something with the grain immediately.
But your idea is that will have to be hauled somewhere. You just don't know who's going to haul it because you don't know what they're hauling yet.
Exactly. Until I can get up and running and give a representative sample to the third parties that are available locally, I can't identify the most cost-effective person to treat that waste.
Okay, but there'll be a plan for you to get rid of the byproduct.
Yes.
At the end.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further.
All right, Mr. Lang.
How many gallons would you be processing per year, approximately?
Approximately, I'm looking at probably about 150,000. That's if I operate full time.
Right, I understand that.
And again, it's going to be market driven. Depending on what product takes off the fastest. And if it's slow and the orders aren't there, the stills that I have allow me the flexibility to be market-driven. You know, they're four small stills, so if I have one product line that's selling more, then I can run all four, but if it slows up, then I only have to tail it back and use one or two, depending on the demand. And from an energy perspective, this put me in a better position to be cost-effective. Based on a small market.
And it's only your intent to be distilling bourbon, is that right? Or would you be distilling anything else?
No, it would be, I could do bourbon, straight bourbon, vodka, rum, It all depends on the ingredient.
All depends on the fruit that you use.
Exactly. So if I were to use an apple, if I just took cider, then I could just make what's called an applejack, and it was a 17th century. It's what they did with their extra apples.
That's all I have.
Counselor. Finally, going to law school in Kentucky has paid off. Now, my only other question or statement of the commission would be, is that just a cautionary word. I think, Marty, I know where you're going, but you'd said final site plan would be contingent on all state and federal licenses and permits. I would just shy away from that because you might get in a chicken and egg thing, because I know with some state DABCC license, you got to have all your permits first before your local.
That's what I'm asking about, the sequence. Yeah. Normally we put that in.
Yeah, on this one I would say that maybe they can't operate until they have the permits, but they may need the final site plan approval to get the permits from the state, so you might just get yourself, you know, bound up that way. So that's all. That's all. Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Abbott, I didn't mean to leave you out. You have a
question?
You have a question? No? Okay.
Distillery, not brewery.
That's true. Okay. Well, I think as far as the issue of security and theft and so on, I don't know that the barrels are in much danger of somebody trying to steal a barrel, but a bottle they might, if you have bottles stored, you know, cases stored somewhere. But I think you certainly understand that issue better than we do, really.
Oh,
at this
yeah.
point.
So. And my plan on the bottling is bottle to order.
Mm-hmm.
And when the orders come in, then you'll do your packaging.
So it doesn't stay around long anyway.
Exactly.
Okay.
It could depend on how long a straw you have, but yeah.
Well, that's true. That's true. It could happen. Anyway, well. All right, sir. Well,
long hose.
You would take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1968, Ray Baker? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1968? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may just want to call the office in the morning. It'll be fine.